Joshua chapter 3. Let's start with verse 14. It came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bare the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that's beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed, or they stopped flowing, and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. And command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bare the ark of the covenant stood. And they are there unto this day. I'd like to talk to you today just for a little bit about for a memorial. For a memorial. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this good crowd today. Lord, bless them for coming. Lord, thank you for your good spirit that we've felt here so far. But Lord, I know there's people here today who have no idea what we're so happy about. Lord, I know there's some young ones that don't know you yet, and they're lost. And Lord, if they don't come soon, the old devil in the world's going to swallow them up and deceive them. And then, Lord, I know there's some that's discouraged today. They need encouraging. Some are sick, need healing. And, Lord, some just come for a blessing. So I pray, Lord, would you not look down on us today and touch us one more time. Let us feel your power and your presence as you have done every time we met in this church for 13 years. And Lord, help this be a memorial to people that come after us, that they'll know somebody was here that knew Jesus. And if anybody's lost, I pray today they'd surrender and come to him. Those who are backslid, they'd surrender and come back. God, those that are doing the best they can, that you just lift them up and fill them with your Holy Ghost and your power. Now help me as I speak. Put a guard at my lips. I wouldn't say anything I shouldn't. But give me liberty. Open our ears, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, young people, listen to me. I'm not going to bore you. I did children's church for many, many, many years. If I have to, I'll set something on fire, probably your hair, to keep your attention. Here's the story. Pretty simple. And by the way, y'all to get you a Bible, you get you a Bible. All this stuff's in the Bible. We don't make this stuff up. And it's not fairy tales. It's real accounts of things that really happened. This is historical, and it's been historically proved, every bit of it. Just the other day, the UN ambassador from Israel stood up at the UN and read the claim of Israel on the promised land from the Bible. And nobody could argue with it because it's historically accurate. Now here's the story. You remember the story that Moses and the children of Israel, look up here, I'm preaching. We ain't praying, look up here. And the children of Israel, Moses, and God set them free. And they went out across into the desert. And when they got to the desert, they came to a place called Kadesh Barnea, a little mountain range. And God didn't tell them to, but they decided they'd send people over there to check out the promised land. So they sent 12 over. You know, the story of the 12 tribes. Even y'all know it. Everybody knows it. And these 12 tribes, 12 spies came back, and 10 of them brought a bad report and said, we can't do it. There's giants in the land. It's impossible. We might as well give up. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, this Joshua, said, we can do it. God will take care of us. He'll run them out. All we got to do is go in and occupy the land. And they got them. And well, I know it's a Baptist church because they voted them down. Amen. Kind of like that fellow one time, you know, every time they had a church meeting, he was always negative. It didn't matter what they wanted to do. He didn't want to spend a dime. He was always voting no on everything. And at a meeting one night, they were going to buy some new chandeliers for the church. And they had a business meeting, and they discussed it over and over and back and forth. Finally, that one old guy, he said, I'm against it. I'm against it. I'll always be against it. He said, besides that, we don't have nobody know here, in this place knows how to play them things. I like old people. I can tell them the same joke over and over and over because they forget every week. But, and I forget I told it. But they voted him down. Said, we're not going. So God said, okay, since you don't trust me, 40 years. 40 years you're going to wander in the wilderness. Now, I'm going to take care of you, but you're not going into the promised land, and you're going to stay out here in this desert, and you're going to go through trial and tribulation, but I'm going to take care of you until this generation dies off. 40 years is a generation. And after that a generation dies off, their children will inherit the promised land. So now all that crowd's died off. It's been 40 years, and the only ones left are Joshua and Caleb of the earlier generation. Now, this generation's grown up, and they said, God said, you're ready now. He trained them out there in the wilderness how to suffer hardship. And so they get to the Jordan River. That's all that's between them and Jericho. And so just like before, God divided the waters. And he told them, he said, now you take that Ark of the Covenant, that little box, it's coated with gold, and inside of it are the Ten Commandments and some of the manna. And they take that, and that's where the mercy seat is on top of it. And that's where the high priest makes his yearly blood sprinkling of the sacrifice of the lamb. And so he said, you take that, and as soon as those priests' feet hit the water, I'm going to stop the River Jordan. Now, how many of y'all ever been down the Catawba River? You ever seen it stopped? And he backed the water up on one side. It just backed up. There's a big wall of water here. There's nothing over there. It's all gone. Went on down the river. And he backed it up, and they went across on dry land. He said, now when you do that, I want you to stop in the river and pick up 12 stones. One for each tribe of the children of Israel. 12 stones. And I want you to take those to the other side. And he said, but I want you to stack up 12 stones in the river. And I'll tell you more about that at the end. But so they picked up 12 stones, one for each tribe, and they took it to the other side, and they stacked them up a certain way. And he said, now, this is the way I want you to do it, because when your children come by here. I want them to ask their father. Young people, look up here. I want them to ask their father, what mean these stones? Why are, Daddy, why are these rocks? If it was South Carolina, they'd said rocks, wouldn't it? Daddy, what are these rocks about? And then Daddy, Father, can tell them the story of the wilderness journey and the deliverance of God and how He brought them across safe and sound into the promised land. It's a memorial. It's a testimony to the saving grace and the keeping grace of God. That word grace meaning undeserved favor. Those people didn't deserve it no more than we do. Now I want to tell you about that. It was an opportunity to share. It was an opportunity for them to tell their children and their children's children what great things God had did for them. Now y'all listen to me. Look up here. All over this country, they're tearing memorials and things like that down. They don't want to know the past. And if we forget the past, we're going to ruin the future. And they're tearing things down. And I'm not talking about y'all because y'all in church. But the current generation doesn't know anything beyond their own generation. And they don't want to know. Not y'all. Y'all in church. Y'all want to know. Or at least somebody wants you to know. They got to hear. But a memorial is something to remind you of some wonderful or tragic experience. We fix to have 9/11 again. Churches have memorials about the tragic day of September 11th. And some of you wasn't even born then. But we don't need to forget that day. Because the reason we had that day is because we wasn't paying attention. We need to pay attention. But I want you to notice this. Every neighborhood used to have a pile of old stones as a reminder of what God can do. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Every neighborhood used to have a pile of... Every neighborhood had a local church. What's the old local church made out of? Just a pile of old rocks is all this church is. Amen? This local church is a pile of stones as a memorial, a reminder to this neighborhood what great things God can do. Now, the majesty was not in the stones. The stones were just rocks at the bottom of the river. Now, if you go out to Catawba River, you can find a bunch of rocks. You can walk across the river sometime. And matter of fact, if you get one of those tubes and go down too late in the afternoon, you'll end up walking because they stop those gates and stuff in the afternoon. You get stuck on those rocks. But there's no majesty in those rocks. There was no majesty in the river. It was the Jordan River, muddy old river. We'd call it a creek here. Ain't no much wider in this building. But the Jordan River was not the majesty they needed to remember. The rocks were not what they needed to remember. They needed to remember what happened that day. And what happened the days before that? God's deliverance is what they reminded you of. God's grace, undeserved love is what that means. Undeserved favor. Those people didn't deserve it no more than we do. And God's keeping power. He didn't just save Israel. He didn't just deliver Israel. He kept them, and He's kept them to this day. Now, in the Old Testament, Israel is the example of a pile of old rocks and what God can do with them. Y'all still with me? Well, give me a Presbyterian grunt or something every once in a while. Help me here, okay? Amen. Even y'all can do that. I think I heard him grunt a while ago. Stay out of my preaching. Listen. In the New Testament, the church is the pile of old rocks. Everybody in this neighborhood or to know there's a church on this corner and the people in this church have been saved and blessed and kept by the power of Almighty God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're just a pile of old rocks. Amen? You ever had anybody call you numbskull? I'm sure you have. I see you nodding your head. Look, we're just a bunch of old hard-headed sinners needing a Savior, needing deliverance, and needing somebody to keep us after they save us. Listen, every church needs to be a memorial. So when the next generation walks by here and some kid says, well, what's that old building for? That somebody can say, that's where God meets His people. That's where God blesses people. That's where God saves people. That's where God heals people. That's where God delivers people. And he'll say, well, don't look much to me. Don't look like much to me. It's just a whole pile of bricks. Yeah, but it's not the bricks that has the majesty. It's the one in it that has the majesty. Amen? Did you know you who are saved and you're kept by the grace of God, you're an example. You're just an old rock. Let's talk about it. What good is a human being, a man or a woman? Let's be honest. What good are, as far as the world's concerned and other people's lives, what good? We're just old rock. We're made out of the dust of the earth, and the Bible says God has pity on us because He knows we're but dust. He looks down here at me and you and other people, and He says, somebody says, Lord, why don't you kill them? Moses told God one time, said, just kill all these people, God, and we'll start over. But God pities us. And He says this, like He said on the cross, they know not what they do. You ever look at somebody and say, man, he's just hard-headed? What you could really say is, he knows not what he does.
Amen.
Every time somebody looks at a Christian, they'll see an old pile of rocks that God's grace and God's deliverance has done great marvelous things for us. God's deliverance to a safe place for Israel. That's what that pile of rocks stood for. And by the way, they probably still tell that story over there. About God's deliverance. And then He said, take a stone for each household, for each tribe. Every leader of every household had to pick up a stone. Now, we're talking about household, we mean tribe in the Old Testament. And the father of that household or grandfather, whoever was the oldest father or grandfather, was the leader of that whole family. In here, there's probably really about three tribes. We're all kin to each other, and we don't know how. True. Get looking up your ancestry. Get looking up. You're going, man, I know that one. I almost married that one. First cousin. But we're all, listen, everybody in here represents a household. And there ought to be in every household somebody carrying a rock.
Yes, sir.
Somebody ought to be carrying that stone that the others, when this little kid comes along and says, I want to move around, but my phone don't work. When this little kid comes along and says, what makes Paw so different?
That's right.
Mama can say, well, let me tell you the story of God's deliverance. For that old man.
Amen.
Every father ought to be a stone. And ladies, if your husband's run off and left you or something, then you have to be that old stone.
Amen.
When the kids come by and the grandkids and the great-grandkids, I ain't that far from great-grandkids, believe it or not. You don't believe that, though. I can tell by looking at you. But when the great-grandkids come along and they say, if he's the stone of this family, he's the head, What does that mean, Mama? Matthew 16. Turn over. I'm going to read you the whole thing. We ain't in no hurry. I smell potato salad. And I know you ain't going nowhere because you want to eat. So. Matthew 16. Look at verse 13, if you will. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I get chill bumps every time I read that. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Look at verse 18. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, he wasn't talking about building it on Peter. He was talking about on the statement that Peter made. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of living God." He said, "We're going to build our church on that. We're going to build our church on that." Now, the memorial stone for our church, right here, is "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We can say Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, then you'll be the rock at your house."
Amen.
Listen, every one of those stones represented the grace of God. Now, everyone in here has been saved. You represent the grace of God. And we ought to be so different. We ought to be so different. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All the old things pass away. All things become new." We ought to be so different, Brother Ron, that we look like a rock to people.
Amen. Yeah.
"Well, ain't no need to talk to him. He ain't backing up. He ain't going to change. He believes the Bible. The man's gone religion crazy. He goes to church on Sunday morning. He goes on Sunday night. He goes on Wednesday night. They've got these things they call revivals. He'll go down there that every night for a whole week. Ain't no need to mess with him. He's hard-headed as a rock. You ain't going to change his mind."
Amen.
Well, amen. That's the way we ought to be thought
yes.
of.
Yes.
There were some people growing up that went to church that I could influence. But then there was others I'd say, "Ain't no need to try." You know why? They'd gotten rock solid in what they believed. And I didn't know the song, but if I knew it then, every time I'd thought about them, every time I saw them, I'd start singing, I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Now listen, this church, this pile of old stones, represents the grace of God to this community. Me and my wife came back later last night after dark to do some things. And we've cleared out some of these he-men. We've got cleared out a bunch of brush out across yonder. And we're a little bit closer to some of these houses behind us. We're still on our side of the property line, but we're closer. And the brush is gone, so they're having a party back there. I mean, a get-her-down party. You know. Yeah. Sound like there's one of those kind where you have a good time that night and then tomorrow can't remember. You don't know which truck it was that hit you. But I thought about it. Those people, I don't care what they do, I don't care where they go, every time they ride out of that road and come down this road right here, they're going to see a pile of old stones that represents the grace of Almighty God that will save even them. Amen? You can't get away from it. This church represents a pile of stones. It's been here for years. It's gone through several names. It's gone through several pastors. I don't know how many pastors. It's gone through some pastors. But it still stands. Amen? And he said, the reason is, Jesus Christ said, I'm going to build my church on that statement. And listen, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Now, you do whatever you want to, but the church will be here when you're dead and gone. Amen. Now, I don't know about this building. It may decay and fall in, but the church will still be here. Amen. Amen. Now, turn to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 real quick. Oh, man, we got plenty of time. I don't hear any bellies growling yet. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Look at it. By the way, how long are you waiting in line for one of those other buffets out there? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, you'll read that whole chapter, but skip down, if you will, to verse 19. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. There's our church name. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, what he's saying is this. Everybody that's been saved by the grace of God in here today, your faith is built on Jesus Christ and nothing else. Now, he's building you into his church. Now, this is the spiritual church we're talking about. We're not talking about the physical church. And he said, you're fitly being joined together in the body. One of you is this part of the body, another, read 1 Corinthians. And he's building a church, a body of Christ, on the foundation of Jesus Christ, that solid rock. And all the devils in hell cannot move it. So here's what the Baptist, regular Baptist thinks about whenever they read that verse, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They think that somehow, when we right there at that door, right, that hell's coming in that door. That's not what that means. It means when we go out that door, into that wicked, lost, dying world, that the gates of hell itself cannot hinder us to do a work for God or bring God glory by His grace. That's what that means. I need to quit that. I look like Bernie Sanders when I did it. But it means when we go out that door that we can storm the gates of hell. What does that mean, preacher? We can go down there where hell itself is destroying somebody's home. We can go in that home. We can witness those people, love those people, and win them to Jesus Christ. And Jude says, snatching them with pity from hell in the grave. Now, these stones represent God's grace. For Israel is a nation, undeserved love. They fell and they failed for 40 years. Go back and read it. Some of you young people, you ain't never read the Bible. You read trash, old trashy magazines and stuff. You watch trashy stuff on television. And you wonder why you're so confused and so unsettled and so fearful. And look, what you need to do is get this right here. That's how you get. He said we get builded up in the faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And I know it ain't cool to read the Bible. I know that. I used to be uncool myself. I used to be cool myself. Believe it or not. Didn't y'all see my picture? I was cool. Some of y'all don't want to see that picture. One girl said I had a mullet. I said, you don't even know what a mullet is. I had a shag. But you had a mullet?
I had no mullet.
No, me either. But listen. You think this is not cool. Well, to the world it's not. But to God, this is what's going to keep you cool through all eternity. You need to get your life built on something besides your little personal feelings. She hurt my feelings. Get saved, your feelings will die. Well, she didn't treat me right. Did you see what she put on Twitter? Facebook? I don't even know what all they got now. They got all kind of little weirdo things that I don't know how to get to them. By the way, parents, you need to know how to get to them. But, preacher, church is boring. Well, I'll tell you what's boring, going to hell. That's boring. Amen. Well, I got plenty of time to make up my mind. Well, the Lord sent you by this old pile of rocks today to remind you. And every time you come down here, you're going to see a memorial for the grace of God and the power of God and the love of God and the deliverance of God. And every time you ride by here, you're going to think about it. Amen. Let me tell you something. 40 years. They were attacked. They were hated. They even loathed themselves sometimes. But God kept them. Now, I've been saved since 1978. That's a lot longer than a lot of you have even been born. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been attacked. I've been hated. And there's been times I've loathed my own self. But Jesus Christ has kept me. Amen. All the way.
Amen.
Many times, Brother Danny, I want to throw in town. Just say, boy, it's too hard, Lord. I can't do this. It's too hard. And he turned my face back. Amen. To that old pile of rocks. He'll say, you remember down there on the East Side Baptist Church, down there on North Jones Street, that old pile of rocks you walked in that day called East Side Baptist Church? You remember that altar you went down to? You remember I saved you that day? I'm not going to let you go. And I want you to remember that every time you ride by a church. I'm not letting you go. And I'm not going to turn my back on you. And you ain't never leaving me. And I'm never leaving you, because I'm the rock. You're not. You know, the local church is put here for a purpose. Did you know contrary to what that TV preacher tells you, you wasn't saved just to have fun? Did you know that word's not even in the Bible, fun? Did you know you wasn't saved to make your feelings better? Look up here. The baby ain't preaching, I am. Look up here. Did you know that you wasn't saved to have good feelings? You were saved for the glory of God. And did you know in the Christian life, now I'm not talking about that easy way and that broad way, I'm talking about the narrow way that leads to life everlasting. Did you know a lot of that road is hard? But the good thing is, every time I look at my rock, Jesus Christ, it makes it easier to go on. Because he suffered like I should have suffered. And he was beaten like I should have been beaten. And he was cursed like I should have been cursed. And he was lied on like I should have been lied on. And he took my whipping. He took my whipping. He took your whipping. You ever been at home and daddy was going to whip you and somebody jumped up and said, no, whip me. No, sir. But God did. Hey, God poured out his wrath on his son in my place. So I wouldn't have to suffer that. This place right here ought to be a testimony to the power of God. When I was growing up, y'all young people listen to this. We didn't go to church. My mama didn't get saved till I was a teenager, and she wasn't big enough. She wasn't that tall, 90 pounds. She couldn't make me go to church. I was bigger than her by then. I didn't ever have a daddy or a man in the house. I didn't go to church. But I'll tell you this. Sometimes I'd go down there and play basketball with some of those boys, and it scared me. Being around church scared. I was with the worst of the worst. I grew up on the south side of Lancaster. But church scared me. They told me that was God's house. And I knew if there was a God in heaven, I wasn't going to go. I knew if there was a God in heaven and there was the Ten Commandments, I was guilty and was going to go straight to hell. And we'd go down there, and those boys, they went to that church. And you know, back then, they didn't even lock a church. They didn't lock churches when I was a kid. And those boys run in there to get some water while we was playing basketball. I wish I had my microphone. You got to work on that thing, son. Help me. Listen. They'd run in there and run down there that water fountain and slide down to it, and that old water fountain squirt up about that high and get all in the floor. They'd just get water all in the floor and laugh, and then they'd run back out hollering. I'd walk over to that door, and I'd open that door. I'd look down through there and see if God was watching me. Yeah. And I walked real easy to that water fountain. And I got me a little drink of water and I tiptoed out there because I was scared to death. You know why? Churches used to have a testimony.
That's right.
Holy ground.
Yes,
holy ground. Yes. When I was lost and they finally talked me into going to church at 21 years old and hearing the gospel for the first time that Jesus loved me, didn't hate me, and he wanted to save me, and I didn't have to go to hell. That first time, I tiptoed in that church. I'll be honest with you. I was scared to death. Here I was, 6'4", and old strappy, old long-haired thing, you know, and I walked in that church, and nobody looked like me, and nobody dressed like me, and nobody talked like me, and nobody run with the crowd I ran with, and I was, and I never would have told them, but those people scared me. I felt God. I felt him when I went in. It was a different place. It was different, Billy. I felt like I was in a holy place, and I didn't know how to handle holy. And boy, they'd sing those songs, and I didn't know the song, but I'd pick up a book and fake it. And that choir would sing, and every once in a while somebody'd raise their hand and start crying. Boy, that scared me worse. And that big old preacher, he'd get up there and he'd start preaching about people going to hell. He'd start crying, and I didn't make fun of him. It scared me when he did that because I knew he was talking about me. I didn't laugh at it. Didn't make fun of it. Outside I did. With the boys I did. Hanging out at midnight down the parking lot I did, you know. But in that church I didn't make fun of nothing. I was scared to death. We get out and I say, I ain't never going back in there. Those people's crazy. Every one of them's crazy. I'm not going back in there. And a few months later, here we are back in there. And that same preacher preaching the same message. At least that's the way I heard it. And everything he said was just about me. He pointed at me about everything. He could have said, you're drinking the wrong kind of water. I'd have got convicted and wanted to get saved. It didn't matter what he preached. I was scared. Billy, I was scared. That place represented everything I was not. And those people was going someplace I didn't know nothing about. And they were living lives I knew I wasn't living. And then finally on that third time, we'd been going outside door. They were doing construction. We had to go out the front door. I didn't want to go out the front door. I didn't want to shake that preacher's hand. I was scared of him. And boy, I was so happy. I always carried my babies. There was one of them right there so that nobody would be able to shake my hand. I slipped around that preacher like this, and he was talking to people. And my wife come behind me carrying another baby, and he reached over and grabbed her and said, girl, where y'all live at? And she gave him her address. And thank God for a man that represented the rock. He come to my house. I didn't know that they could bring religion to your house. They delivered. Amen. Stay out of my preaching. That man come in my house. He sat down on my couch. And I'm going to be honest with you. He was bigger than me. His nickname was Bully from before he got saved. But he was a gentle and kind and loving man. But he scared the daylights out of me just sitting there. And he took me through the gospel. And I said, "Preacher, when I can quit drinking and lying and cussing and doing all these things I do, I'll come to your church and join your church." He said, "Son, you'll go to hell." I said, "I thought that's what Christian was." He said, "Well, that's what they're supposed to be." He said, "But all of them ain't what they ought to be." He said, "Besides, I drink all the liquor I want." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah, I cuss all I want." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "The difference is I got saved. I don't want to anymore. He changed my want to's. Now I don't want to." And I don't know. We went back months later. Went back months. We're not talking about 3 weeks. We're talking about years here. He preached that same message with that same fat finger pointing right at me on every word. Every word. And scaring me. You know what I knew, son? I knew he was right. I was looking at the rock. I was looking at what I was supposed to be. I was looking at what God could do, save and deliver and keep and bless. And I was looking at that. And I was in the rock. I was in that old pile of rocks called the church. And I looked around and saw people who had been saved and delivered and kept by the grace of God. And I said, "God, I'm scared. I don't want to go down there. I'm scared. People will talk about me." And thought come to my mind, well, they talked about me.
Yeah.
I said, "Lord, they'll make fun of me." I thought come to my mind, they made fun of him too. And I was weeping and crying, and I didn't think men did that. And finally I said, "Lord," I couldn't hardly breathe. Like some of you are right now. Thought I was going to have a heart attack. I said, "Lord, if you'll help me, just help me move my foot. I'll go down there. I'll do whatever I got to do." And I found myself coming down the aisle, weeping and crying that aisle right there. And weeping and crying. And listen, as I was coming down that aisle, I was getting more peace and more joy and more happiness than I found in my whole life. By the time I got to the front, I was weeping. And he said, "Son, what do you want?" I said, I need to get saved. And he hugged me. He said, "Boy, we've been praying for you for 3 years." He said, "He desires to save you." He sent me in a room with a little man and said, "Hey, here's the Bible. Admit you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I said, "That's me." He said, "The wages of sin is death. That's going to hell." I said, "That's me." He said, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I said, "That's what I need right there." He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I said, "That's what I need to do." He said, "Then pray and ask him." I said, "I don't know how to pray." And he told me what to pray. "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner." I said, "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner." He said, "Dear Lord, I know I ought to go to hell." I said, "Lord, I know I ought to go to hell." He said, "But I don't want to go." I said, "Lord, I don't want to go to hell." He said, "I believe Jesus died for my sins." I said, "I believe he died for my sins. And I believe he rose from the dead the best way I knew how." I said that. He said, "And I'm asking him to save me." And I asked him. You know what he did?
He did it.
He saved me. He saved me.
That's right.
Now, you know what? They done tore that old church down. But every time I ride down that street, Brother Deborah, I see a pile of old rocks. Where I got saved by the grace of God. The buildings, I see it. Every time I go down Jones Avenue toward her house, I see it.
Praise God.
And every church building I see a pile of old rocks, a testimony to the grace of God. And every time I see a father that's right with God, I see a rock.
Amen.
And every time I see a mother, I see a rock. Those are memorials to the grace of God. Now today we got 13th anniversary of Memorial Day. It's not about us.
Glory to God.
It's about what God's done here.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And what he can do for you.
Amen.
John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave his power to become the sons of God."
Amen.
All you got to do is receive him.
That's right.
Now listen, I want to ask you a question. What do people see when they see you?
Right.
They see something.
Yep.
Y'all listening?
Yep.
All right, look up here, girls. You don't need a baby. I'm preaching. What do people need? What do people see when they see you? Is it a memorial to the grace of God? Or is it a sad picture of lost, hell-bound sinners?
Right.
My grandkids are here today. Some of them's here today. You know what I want them to think about when I'm gone? He was a rock. He was a memorial to the saving grace of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yes. That's my grandpa buried there. My mama's going to be a year on the 22nd this month that she passed and went to heaven. I bought her a nice memorial stone. Tracy helped me get it. He put it up. No, somebody's company put it up. You know what that is when I look at a headstone? I'm looking at a memorial of the testimony of somebody's life. What are people going to see when they go see your headstone? No hope. Not sure. Or somebody that was saved by the grace of God and unashamed of the gospel. Now I know everybody in here is related to somebody in this church. I want you to know every time you come to this church, you're going to hear this story. Or something like it. And if you're not saved, let me tell you something. This is the place to come get it. We'll help you. We want you to get to the rock called Jesus. Because, see, we do a whole lot of things for you. But we can't save you. Only He can do that. That's the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul said, I came unto you and I preached the gospel. Which means good news, but it's not just like any other good news. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now the good news is because He died and rose, we don't have to die. We get to live forever by trusting Him and what He did. I hope when your kids look at you, they see somebody that they know went to going to heaven. I hope they know they can come to this church and get saved. And I thank God for everybody's ever come here and preached that message. Everybody. But I want you to know that's the only message we got.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what we preach on, it's coming back to Him every time.
Amen.
So the question is, do you know Him?
Amen.
Have you ever admitted you as a sinner, turned to Christ, and said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I don't deserve heaven. I've broken your commandments. It only takes one, by the way, not to get to heaven. Break one, you ain't going. And Lord, I need to be saved. And I believe Jesus died for my sins. And I believe He rose from the dead. And I'm asking Him to save me. And then, you know what that's called? Faith. Then He'll give you more faith to go with that. And you'll be born again right there. Let's stand. Father.